Hey there, I'm Dave Kula, Microsoft MVP. I'm also one of the co-founders of MVP Days Community Roadshow. MVP Days Community Roadshow is one of the premier Microsoft roadshows in Western Canada. Make sure you come out and see us. We'll be live September 2015. It's be our second year running the show. Make sure you register at www.mvpdays.com. Now, what are we here to talk about in this episode? Well, I had the luxury at last year's MVP Days 2014 in Vancouver of seeing one of my dear friend Sean Kearney's Energize Tech. Probably see his picture up here somewhere. I had a chance to view one of his sessions and attend one of his sessions, and it was amazing. And it was a session that was called Introduction to DevOps by Using PowerShell. And a lot of people I find in the industry today are still a little bit scared of what they can do with PowerShell. And I feel that Sean does just a fantastic job simplifying complex tasks that, you know, people would normally struggle with. He's going to walk through in his video demonstration and his live, well, it's actually not even a video presentation. This is a live presentation from MVP Days 2014. He's going to walk you through some of the introductory concepts that you can use in production today for desired state configuration and PowerShell in general. A couple of my particular favorites was where he would mirror a configuration from one server to the other. So we've all had the situation where we've tried to deploy a new server. We'd say, take an example of a web server. You've got an old Windows 2008 web server and you need to replace this web server either because it's a physical machine or the initial virtual machine has died and we didn't have a good backup of it. Now we need to port the code from one server to another, in this particular instance, the web server. And we always tend to miss some of the features that are associated from server A to server B. Now, Sean, in this presentation, is actually going to show you how using desired state configuration and PowerShell, how you can actually mirror the old server and bring all of those configurations over to the new server with just a few simple clicks and a couple lines of PowerShell code. Not only is he going to do that, he really took and he really dug one of his amazing scripts out of the hopper for you guys in this particular episode. He's going to take and he's going to show you how you can actually build a change control document automatically using PowerShell. And that's towards the end of his presentation, but that was one of my particular favorite points that I had when I actually watched this thing. All right, stay with us. We're going to come back to you after this short break, and then we'll let Sean take it over from there. Thanks.
So today we're going to sit there and show you a few little tips and tricks with Windows PowerShell to help end the old developer IT pro war. Because I spent 4 years working at McKesson Canada with a team of developers, and until I learned to feel their pain, until I learned to work with them, I had a very lot of angry days when I went home, forever pointing fingers at each other. So if you didn't see me from early session this morning, my name is Sean Kearney. My name is the Energize Tech. I'm not allowed to have coffee when I present. This is a ban by Microsoft themselves. I tend to get a little fidgety. I'm a human gerbil. I work for a Microsoft Gold partner in Ottawa, Ontario. We do a lot of work for government entities. We do heavy work with System Center Orchestrator, Configuration Manager. Me, I live in the world of PowerShell and automation. And generally, if it turns on, Sean, work with it. I also do a lot of the writing on the scriptingguys.com website at Microsoft Corp. So if you know Scripting Guys, we learn all the stuff about PowerShell, how to do all your automation. I'm one of their actual writers. Not paid, I'm a volunteer, but I just love helping people out there. And I've had a reputation for writing Christmas holiday specials about PowerShell, so we took Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol and rewrote it as a PowerShell carol, just because. And then I sang theme music to it. So yes, I'm a nerd. But I especially like getting into showing ways to make your days a little bit easier, because my old job was the field technician. I did the 16-hour days, and I never want to do those again. And anything I can do to help any one of you out there so that you can go home at 5 o'clock rather than, hi, honey, no, another 8 hours tonight, no, I'm not getting paid for it. Nobody wants that. So today we're going to try and make your lives a little bit easier with a little bit of PowerShell, and it may not be the end-all, be-all for DevOps, but these are small, simple things that may help you out. So most importantly, if you haven't done this already, if you've got Twitter, and if you've tweeted it already, that's okay, because there's no limit as to how many tweets you can put out about this, hashtag CDN MVP days. Somebody's walking away with that Surface Pro. It's not me. It's somebody in this audience, okay? All you got is tweet. That's it. Crazy picture. All you got to do is catch their attention. The guy that walked off with the one in Saskatoon was so happy because, like, a Twitter did it? And these contests do work for real people. I walked off with the Dell Venue Pro at TechEd just from a simple Twitter contest. So take a shot. You got nothing to lose. Just a tweet. Just one simple tweet. No, you cannot bribe the judges either. So we're going to deal with a fairly typical need in most environments. Many environments, if you're working with developers, development has worked on some type of solution. They've been spending months on it there. The business has been breathing down their back, and they've got that solution ready to go. It's got to go to production. Or let's give another consideration that might work well for the IT professional. You've been working on a proof of concept. You've had, say, Server 2012 R2 running from the trial media for Microsoft because you didn't have to license that. You've spun up the software on that. You've let it run for a couple months. The boss has said, okay, you've tested it, you've proved it, you've validated it. I'm happy with it. I'm signing off the change to production. Now, unless you like reading manuals, those changes aren't always smooth. In fact, you may get a simpler scenario that's a little scary. It may involve a change request document. It may be handwritten, which isn't very useful. Or it may be the change request document is fine, but the manual to set up the new environment, there's this massive pile here, which is way too long. The end result is people make mistakes. You can give me as many detailed steps as you want, but the more steps I've got to make, the more likely I'm going to trip on one of those steps. So the goal is find a way to either eliminate those steps or maybe find a way to kind of seamlessly tie them in so that we are less prone to error. So here's a little example of something I was playing with. So we're going to go into here to Web 1, make it so you can all read it because I didn't actually make it big. Okay, put the screen. And on this computer over here, whoop, is that two? Whoops, wrong computer. That's the bad one. That's my example of how to do it wrong. Maximize, much better. Get you off the screen. So on this machine right now, we have a lovely little website that is running, well, of course, the most important website message other. This is my developer's current server. It's functioning. He's got all the code on there. The data's on there. You click on the little box. The little box comes up with the most important manage for every IT pro on the planet. Don't panic. Okay, it's a silly website, but it's a functioning website. So he's filled out his change request, and he's handed me a little request that says he needs a web server. I need the following source files to transfer that web server and then spin it up for me. So I followed his change request, and, well, here's the results we got. The website's not working so well. Yeah, you would think that. It's like, and then, of course, the famous battle happens. The developer, his website went production. Who do you think gets yelled at? Not the IT pro. No. The developer created it. So he gets yelled at by his boss. Then, of course, he has to reflect that back to somebody else. I asked for a web server. It's working fine, development. It's all your fault. But I'm the IT pro. You just asked for a web server. What are you talking about? I gave you a web server. And what he thinks is a web server, in his mind, in all fairness, typically he's running, say, web, ASPD, web authentication, basic authentication. There's a certain set of block information, but in his mind, it's a web server. That's all he thinks about, and that's fine. There's a breakdown in communication. So it's like somebody going to a car dealership saying, I want you to give me a car with everything on it. And the car dealer says, absolutely. And they give you that car, and it's got the air conditioning, it's got the AM, FM, stereo, whatever you want. It's got it loaded to the hilt. And the guy comes back here, but where's the sharks with freaking lasers on it? Two different people that can't get the message across. They don't speak the same language. The developer and the IT pro don't speak the same language. We don't necessarily have to, but we're in two different worlds. So what he meant was a web server was I want IIS with ASP.NET, basic authentication, and he filled this change request document and he made a mistake. So rather than pointing blame, blame does not solve anything. In actual fact, we're all tied to a business process of some type. And so where the flaw actually lays is not the developer or the IT pro, it's the business process. The process is under the assumption that both of us speak the exact same language. Both of us always understand what the other person's saying. Do I understand what my CIO means? He speaks one language, I speak tech. So we're going to sit there and find a better way around this. So we're going to be dealing in the constraints of Server 2008 R2, 2012, and 2012 R2, fairly modern environments in Microsoft. So one of the ways we could have avoided this problem is if I could have known the features the developer had on his server. That would have made things a little bit easier. So in Server 2008 R2 and higher, we can have a PowerShell commandlet called get Windows feature. If I run that commandlet by itself and do nothing else, it shows me all the features that are on that server right now, and an X beside everyone that's installed. And if I run that same commandlet and pipe it to where installed, it'll show me a very perfect list of every single feature that is active on that server right now. So gee, if I had my developer server and run that, that could have shown me everything he had. But I don't like typing. In all fairness, I don't think my developer friend likes typing either. So we have a way to kind of capture that. So in Windows PowerShell, we also have two more commandlets. One is called export CLI-XML, and the other one's import CLI-XML. The goal of export CLI-XML is you take a PowerShell object, like say the directory structure or Active Directory user computers, or I don't, maybe the get Windows feature commandlet, and you pipe it into that commandlet, and it captures that as an object and stores it as a single XML file. That's a text file. That's something you can pick up and copy. Then we have its twin, import CLI-XML. Is anybody here super? I might be going with this. We can take that same XML file, and this reverses the process. Then we can take that data and pipe it into the opposite commandlet. So what we could do is on our developer server, or maybe our proof of concept server, we can stand on the computer right now and run a get Windows feature, show all the installed features on the screen, pipe it directly to export CLI XML, and store it as a single XML file. Now we can actually take that same file, run across the room, robocopy it, whatever you like, drop it on the destination server and reverse that process with an import CLI-XML, that file name, and pipe it into install Windows feature. The end result is you've got the features on the source server, just like the install Windows features, they're captured as a single file, and you can literally photocopy it onto the destination server. If you don't learn any high-end features from PowerShell, this is not even a script, this is a one-line commandlet. This alone can make your day a little easier. So let's just see if I can capture the features right now. So here's our source server. Don't panic. Everything's running lovely. That's what Douglas Adams said to do. Don't panic. I try not to, because if I panicked, I'd be out of trouble. So here we have the get Windows feature. We're installed. If I run that commandlet right now on the screen, it's going to go out to the server, and as you can see, there's an X. Every single one of these are features this server has installed on it right now. So in all fairness, the developer could have made a change on the server. He's been busy over 4 months. He added a feature he forgot about. This is going to, at the very least, go to that server and literally inventory every feature that's installed on Server 2012 R2 right now and capture it on the screen. Then we can go this. Take that same command that we just ran, run export CLI XML, and what's the file name? So I'm going to call it config.xml. Probably scrolled off screen a wee bit here. Let you see it. Now I'm calling it config.xml, you can call it Charlie Brown, you can call it chocolate cookies, you can call it photocopy, it doesn't matter. It's just a file. Hit enter. And now, on this machine over here, I have a file called, nope, not you, you. How about I actually click on the, there we go. One little file. And if I was to, just to have fun, run import CLI XML, on that very file that we have on the server here, guess what we get? The very output from that screen. Only this is not text. This is a PowerShell object. So because it's an object, its twin on the other side is expecting it. So we're going to try a little bit of trickiness here because it didn't transfer in advance. And we're going to try copying this live. This could go badly. Just because of the demo you-know-whos. So there's our config file. I'm going to flip over to my destination server. And let's see if we can get this to copy over the first time without any boo-boos. Let's put it under here. You get it? Paste it. Paste it over. So let's remember, this is currently a non-functioning website. I'm even going to refresh it. Nothing up this sleeve, nothing up this sleeve, nothing up here. So now we're going to go to PowerShell. And the only thing we're going to do in PowerShell is the reverse commandlet. So I've got the physical file on the server. Go to my folder where I've dumped it. I'm going to run an import CLI XML, the file name, and they're going to pipe that into install Windows feature. Guess what's going to happen? It's going to take every feature that was on the source server that's been captured in that file. It's gathering that list. Now it's piping that into the install Windows feature commandlet in Windows PowerShell on the destination server. So you remember how his website didn't work before, right? Because what he asked me for is not the same as I had. Yes, I can see a hand up there. The question is, if the feature is already installed, will it keep it? Yes. So this is not a cut, paste, and overwrite old features. It will merge. Now, let's see how the start initialization works. It took a few minutes. Now, it's taken a few minutes, but I'll just take a shot in the dark, see if this website suddenly works, because I know the feature that was missing. Nope, not yet. Nope, not yet. It takes a few minutes for this to go through. And quite literally, the feature that was missing on here was ASP. So he asked for a website, and he wanted ASP. I just spun up web server. So now with this ASP, it's got basic authentication. Every little bell and whistle that was sitting on the source server is now exactly what it should be on the destination server. So we get Junior here to fire up and behave. This is also a virtual environment. They never run as fast as you want. Da-da-da, da-da-da, come on. Pretty colors, pretty lights. Drum roll somewhere. This is also why you don't run your production web servers on a laptop. There we go. So now the same website, there's no change in the file structure. We've simply matched the features on this thing, right down to his silly little button that pulls up his silly little web page. So at the very least, if we had that one PowerShell commandlet and file, we could at least alleviate some of our business breaks. Now, we're going to talk about this later on today. Yes, sorry. The question is, could you filter the export so you only get the web components? The answer to that is absolutely. So I did a basic get Windows feature and say where installed. So I simply said, give me everything that's installed. But absolutely, you can say get Windows feature and say where the feature name starts with web and filter out only components. That's absolutely true. So this was a very simple blanket approach, but you can expand on as many other different ways as you like. So the other one we're going to talk about later on this afternoon is what's called desired state configuration. But we're going to bring this one into the mix. And the other option we have is we can work with desired state configuration. Now, if you haven't heard about it yet, with PowerShell 4.0, DSC is a single text file that runs within PowerShell that can apply on a server to create the service configuration. It'll do everything from applying the Windows features, the file structures, as you expand into various features, define NIC teaming. And DSC can even be used in what's called a push or pull scenario, meaning that you can have a commandlet that applies the configuration, or the server fires up looking for it. But we'll deal more with that later on this afternoon. But for the states of today, we're going to look at DSC as an option for our developer. So rather than him giving me the server and saying, just go for it, the other option we could have is that when he creates that development server the first time, we can use a DSC file to describe it. Now, although it runs inside Windows PowerShell, as you can see going down DSC, it's a very simple thing. Configuration description, the feature that that server wants. So you got web server, you can actually have a thing that says Windows feature ASP.net. And it's getting these names directly from the Windows feature names on the server. And simple words, present or not present. So we could actually have, as a developer adds features to his web server, to simply update this DSC file, which might be a better option for us. Because then, rather than filling out a change request form, I can use a DSC file to apply it. Because the advantage with DSC is that if I was planning to going from developing to one dev to one prod server, it's not so bad. Config.xml is an okay option. What if I'm doing an enterprise environment? I'm not building out a single web server, but a web farm. And that web farm could be 100 web servers. Well, this is where DSC takes over. So instead of targeting a single server, you can target a configuration to a group of servers. So if I have to spin up 100 new servers, I can simply take that same template that defined as a development server and apply it to 1 to 100 to 1,000 servers and have them all in the exact same configuration. So what that means is that if he was to use that as a method for updating his web server, that rather than filling out the change request document and hoping it all worked, he could fill out the change request document, hand me that file, because this is the file that's been maintained for the configuration of the server, and then I spin up the production servers with the exact same file. Now let's show you a very simple concept of what these files looks like. Web 1, where are you hiding, Web 1? Not you. Too many windows on this computer here. So over here, I've created a very simple VSE file. We give it a configuration name. I call it MVP days. We call it a new web server. This is the target server in his question. In my production, I can change that from 2, 3, 4. But for the developer, he doesn't have to change anything. All he'd have to do is where it says Windows feature, as he adds features to the server, he could copy that, paste that, and just add out the name web server with the next new feature he's added in. So little by little by little, as he updates the server, there's the file that controls that server. Now, this would work fine, except for one little problem. We want to enhance the business process, not really change it. And the thing is, if I tell my developer he has to create a DSC file and maintain that DSC file, I'm teaching him a new skill set, which is fine, but maybe his boss says, you don't have the time to learn DSC. You're Jeff, make code. That's what your job is. If the IT pro can't spin up the web server the right way, that's his problem. Businesses do this all the time. They push it onto each other. So I need to get smart. I know. I can build a text file. So your DSC file, if you look at it, is really a giant text file, nothing more than that. It's got a consistent pattern of information, like the word configuration is always at the top. The word node is always down the second line of the thing. And the actual Windows features are just blocks of information down there. It's a giant text file. With the Windows PowerShell, making a text file is as easy as pie, unless you like cake. So we can use the add content commandlet and build a file name, which is just a DSC file, and just populate value by value by value. So if you can see up here on the first line, we've got a line that says configuration $config. So I've actually got a script that's going to go out there and take the name we want to get to configuration and populate that line. And what this is going to do is actually create a brand new text file that's called whatever I call it. So I can call it, say, file name could actually be dsc.ps1. And every single instance of file name will be dsc.ps1. I can actually have the PowerShell script build that for me. What this means is we had the get Windows feature commandlet. We can step through the output of that commandlet and grab the names of those features themselves and build the DSC file for the developer. That sounds like a better idea. Because rather than expecting him to understand brand new technology from PowerShell and having to teach him that, why don't I just find a way to make his job easier and my job easier? So instead of building the file manually, the developer, or myself, and this is the part where the process doesn't matter, we just run a script. We're going to sit there and go to the destination server. He still has to fill out the change request. That's the business process. That's an audible process. He still needs to have documentation on file. But we can grab the Windows features, parse through them bit by bit by bit, have PowerShell build a DSC file. It's a single text file, so what's stopping us? Nothing. And then once that file has been captured and built, I can take that file and go to my 1 to 1,000 servers and deploy it with that file. End result is, again, I've got all the features he's got on the server, and the same process you were asking before, could we capture only web only? We can filter it in the same exact manner. We're just parsing different data. So over here, in the land of happy, happy, DSC, capture DSC. I've got a really simple little, well, it looks a little more complex than it is, but it's a fairly simple PowerShell script. So what this script is going to do is capture the Windows features. So if we go down here, slower, Sean. Okay, slow down my mouse. So right down here, all we're doing is saying get the Windows features that are installed on that server and storing them away as a PowerShell object called features. That's just a variable. That's all it is. Just temporary scratch file as far as we're concerned. And then I've got a simple variable, and all it is the top of every single DC file always starts up as configuration in some name, node in some name. Well, I've got a header that's going to capture that information and drop it into the text file. Down here, add that very information up here into a brand new text file that I've defined before called DSC file. Here's where you get to the funky code part. We're going to step through all those features, grab the name, grab the display name, and do you remember our sample DSC file before? This look a little familiar? There's your block that said Windows feature, only now we're just self-populating the names into here. So what this is going to do is build us a lovely DSC file that matches what he had. So I can actually do this. Run. R so we can see it all. Dir EOT. There you go. Notepad EOT. This one. And there we have it. As Julie Child would say, a lovely fresh baked dish. Format. Font. Make it so it's readable. One freshly baked desired state configuration file captured from his web server. So now again, I can take that same file, go to my production server, spin it all up, life is good. We have exactly what he had on there. The fun part is that because this is a desired state configuration file, if I just had his web features on there, but he said, oh, by the way, Sean, I need you to take the following folder structure and transfer it to the production server with DSC, and you'll see this later on this afternoon, I can actually tell the desired state configuration that the destination servers have to have the following destination folder structure from the following source folder. I can apply everything with one file. Now, getting the servers to mirror each other is fine. That's fine and dandy. I worked at McKesson Healthcare. I had to deal with an FDA audit once. Anybody ever deal with auditors? You don't want to. They're nice people, but they expect everything rigidly defined and nothing missing. So if our server environment, which is providing patient data, was audited, and they wanted to understand why you've got all these features on the server and no documentation to support it, because remember, the developer, he just asked for a web server. In actual fact, he needed a very defined list of what he needed on that server. If I didn't have documentation properly supporting what's in that server, there's a good chance I could get nailed. Or better yet, how about the server blows up, disaster recovery scenario kicks in, and you've got to rebuild that server from scratch. If you don't have documentation that identifies clearly what was installed on there, right down to the feature level, you're going to have a hard time rebuilding it. So, has anybody ever played with a rich text format file and actually looked at it in Notepad? Good stuff. Excellent. So RTF, for the rest of you who haven't played with it, first off, you can open it in Microsoft Word and it looks like a standard Word document, right down to bold fonts, underlines, and everything. But the actual file itself is a giant ASCII document with formatting codes, just like an HTML document. So what this means is we can build it with PowerShell. So just in the same way that we built out the DSC file with PowerShell, we can build an RTF file. It's a little more complex because you actually have to have what's called the RTF header, which is like the block of ASCII text that sits at the top of the document. But guess what? Most of the time, that's pretty consistent. And do you know how I did it the first time? I cheated. I wrote an ASCII file and said, Sean is cool. Found all the stuff before it said, Sean is cool, and said, well, there's my header. I'll remember that, and I'll paste that into Notepad. I wrote some new text, and I grabbed the footer, which is all the lines after where it says, Sean is cool, put it in the document. And son of a gun, I made a brand new rich text format document in Notepad. Well, if this works in Notepad, this will work in PowerShell. So one of the options we've got is to make our developers' life easier and our life easier is why do we want to manually fill out the change request document? Honestly, we need a detailed document reflecting that environment and a signature or a series of signatures. So why not let PowerShell build the change request document? There's the thought. Building that document, again, is fairly simple. Once you have the RTF header, what it looks like, and this is available on TechNet right now, you just drop it in line by line by line. And then what we're going to do is take our Get Windows Feature commandlet. We've already been stepping through that to grab information to build a DSC file. That exact same information, the names of the features, we can populate into an RTF file automatically. So we can actually step through it, build the file, grab all the features, and have a little document that our developer friend can print off, sign off, hand me off whatever documentation file he requires that directly mimics what's on his environment. By the way, this does not require Microsoft Word in any way, shape, or form. You can run this on your server. Trivial Pursuit, I used to onboard staff all the time at McKesson, and my new user script ran on the server, and at the very end, we would create a new user welcome form. And it was done in this very same code. So it would have, hello, John Smith, welcome to our company. Here's your temporary password, here's your credentials, here's our IT company policy there. Print it off, fold it off, and hand it to the hiring manager. So as we're saying, we can grab the features we get Windows feature, parse that data with Windows PowerShell, and build out an RTF file directly, which should give us a piece of documentation that any auditor is quite happy to read over, because it will mimic exactly whatever's on that server. So let's pop over to here, back to the land of code and loveliness. Clear the screen. So pop over here. Got a little script called create CR, change request. Now the most part of it, it's exactly the same as the DSC one. I haven't changed it. We're still getting the Windows features. But up here, you see this lovely block of stuff, and no, you don't have to memorize this. I got a hyperlink, you can grab it yourself afterwards. And this is the actual ASCII text that sits at the top of an RTF file. That's what defines that it's an RTF, that's the type that defines the font. And obviously I'm not a developer, I don't care, I just simply said I'm going to grab a file in WordPad, I'm going to type up something like Sean is cool, and I'm going to see the lines at the beginning. And I stole it, and I put that into the script. And then as we step down, here's our lovely little header we can drop in there. This is a request for deployment of a new server into production. At the end of every one of these lines, you see the backslash par. That's the RTF way of saying, hey, new paragraph, new paragraphs. And all of this, if you ever have the playable RTF documents, is fully documented online by Microsoft. They have a great document indicating all these little things like backslash PR and all that. All I wanted was simply a way to type up the stuff on the screen. So we drop this information in the text file. Step through the features, grab the name of the feature, drop it into a text file. Then go right through as far as to put in some little signature lines, signature, date. Of course, this is a very ad hoc solution, but you can adapt it to almost anything. Then we just run this very same script. So it's doing the same thing as we did with the DSC. We're capturing only the installed features on the server, building out a brand new text file. Well, in the case of this file, and this is server 2012 R2 with absolutely no Microsoft Word. We have an RTF file, and there we have it. That's a file we can actually print off, sign it, date it, hand it off as your documentation for what's going online, and fewer arguments between the developer and the IT pro. Seem to be running a little fast for time, shame on me. So, yes, developers and IT pros do not have to be at battle forever and ever and ever. And in some cases, they aren't. But what I did encounter at McKesson, and this has got to be similar to other environments, is that we've got a business process, we've got to work with it there. We can't always be trained up in the way we want to make things happen. If there's anything we do with PowerShell, and again, it's not just a PowerShell thing. If you're comfortable doing this in VBScript, the processes are identical. You're just capturing data and storing it in a way that could be stored in a more unique format. So we can actually have a way to take PowerShell, capture the configuration of the server as much as possible, to deploy it on the other side so that we're not yelling at each other and pointing fingers. We may not be able to fix the business process, but maybe we can align ourselves to it in a way that it's a little smoother, less headachy. We got some time for questions there still. We hear crickets? That's okay. Yes, go ahead.
So I know you're redeploying how we can quite simply grab things like text, but have you investigated or have you thought of using native PowerShell objects for like integrating instead of getting the XML file parsing the collection of Windows features to do things? I presume there's such a collection.
Okay, so I'm not quite sure on the question. I understand you're trying to grab something, but to what degree?
Well, like
Okay, so I guess the question is there a way we could say run the get Windows feature and pipe it directly to the destination server? Yeah. And that would be the challenge. And I'm thinking going from dev to prod or dev QA and test. And in my environments I've dealt with, the dev environment is not allowed to talk to the QA environment because you want to make sure. But having said that, there's absolutely nothing. Let's just say you are a smaller environment and the dev machine is on the same domain as the prod. And all you got to do is be able to, you can definitely run the get Windows feature commandlet and pipe it into the install Windows feature commandlet and pipe it to the destination computer. So I was showing you on a local host. But many PowerShell commandlets, you can actually have a parameter simply computer name, specify the NetBIOS name. So if you want to get really funky, there's nothing stopping you saying get Windows feature, pipe it to install Windows feature, target name, computer name. That gets into, I'm going to put what my manager used to say, that increases the risk. Because if you go to the target computer and you target the wrong machine name, oopsie! And nobody wants to get into that at all there. But you can definitely get into more processes where you're bypassing dumping to a file structure, absolutely. Other questions? Okay. No problems there. I've left a link on bit.ly, posh DevOps MVP, if you want to grab these files, these scripts, if you want to play around with them yourself. You can reach me online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, sean@powershell.ca, which seems to be easier than my corporate email address, scarney@systol.com. You can get me at Energize Tech. No, I don't spam anybody. If you've got a question, you're curious about something, you want to see if I can help you out with something, I don't charge for that stuff. I just love getting people through PowerShell because, again, I remember having the 15, 16-hour day, and I love seeing that one person that walks up and says, you know what? I learned this one stupid thing about PowerShell, and I actually got home 3 hours earlier today. But it was such a stupid little script. Yeah, but did it get you home earlier? That's all the point. It's just another tool that gets out there. Now, if you haven't already, please visit our sponsors. Because of them, I get to be here in Vancouver. They paid for all the good stuff like flight and hotels and the ability for me to actually walk down the street and not be eating McDonald's every day. So, and if you haven't already, we've already read it once more, that hashtag, CDN MVP days. Tweet it. Take a shot. Fire it off on the internet. Somebody is walking out of here with a Surface Pro. And if you don't tweet, it ain't going to be you. So take a shot at it. You got nothing to lose. All right. They didn't give me the extra slide, so if you're all good to go, thanks for checking out MVP Days. I'll be here also later on this afternoon doing a session on desired state configuration introduction.